We read the scriptures here this morning. We're talking about peace, if you haven't picked up on it. I would just like to read two scriptures to kind of reinforce what we heard this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Father, as we open up your word today, we're just looking today for just your favor upon your people. We're asking, God, for those that are in turmoil in this present time, Lord, just to shower them and bathe them and baptize them in your peace. Lord, peace is missing in our world today. And Lord, peace was missing in the world when this proclamation was given. And so, Lord, we accept that same news that was given over 2,000 years ago. We accept that news today, that proclamation that there is peace on earth. There is peace on earth for those who want to accept it. And we do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are glad you're here, and we're going to begin here today. How many of you know what a homophone is? All you teachers, if you're a teacher, you might be familiar with that. And a homophone is two words that sound alike, right, but are spelled different and mean something different. And today, peace and peace. So I thought I would just kind of educate you a little bit here today on the difference between peace and peace. Do you know the difference? All two of you. Okay, so this is a good time. All right. We know what a peace is, P-I-E-C-E, right? It means a piece of something, right? A piece. I don't have any candy on me to give you today, but a piece of candy, give me a piece of gum, right? We often say that. And for those who see something going on, they may say, I want a piece of the action, right? We understand that. We understand what pieces of a puzzle or a model are. Some of you even maybe like, and maybe we'll have some around your tables today, Reese's Pieces, right? Who doesn't like Reese's Pieces? All right. But sometimes the word piece is sometimes substituted for the word slice, right? Sometimes when somebody brings pizza, we'll say, hey, give me a piece of pizza. We don't say slice unless you're a different part of the country, a different vernacular, right? Piece of pizza, piece of cake, right? Piece of pie. We're getting into those holidays, right? So we're asking for those pieces. We're looking for those pieces. But today we're talking about P-E-A-C-E. And peace is a piece or a slice of heaven on earth. How do I know? Because it was brought by angels, all right? They brought the message of peace to the earth. And so today we have the news that we can experience and have a piece of heaven today, a piece of peace that God offers every human being. God sent the message of peace through a host, an army of angels. And I want to add to that, we can say a choir of angels, all right? Heaven touched earth. God became man. Jesus became Emmanuel, God with us. And I hope you're experiencing him on that level today, that he is with you 24/7, that you can walk with him, talk with him anytime. He is available for us. We understand the word peace. Sometimes we use it in three different ways. There could be other ways, but we're just going to narrow it down to three here today. When we talk about peace, we talk about peace, the absence of war. But how many know that the Bible says in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars? How many have heard some rumors? Turn on the news and you will hear rumors of wars. How many know there's wars that are actually going on, right, in parts of our world today? So it is not basically what we're talking about here this morning, the absence of war. But we also look at peace as living in harmony with people. And the more we move forward as a nation, the less we are experiencing peace. We are not experiencing peace. Our government is not proclaiming peace. They are actually proclaiming division in our nation today. But as the children of God, we are called to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? For they will be called the children of God. So that is one of our characteristics as believers today, that we, when we enter into a situation, we bring peace. That is our part of our job description here today. But we're not talking about harmony among people today, but we're talking about a third peace, which is reconciliation with God. And that's what Jesus came, that he came to make peace, that man could reach out to God through him. He is our mediator today. And we cannot experience the first types of peace, absence of war and harmony with others, unless we experience reconciliation with God. Because what? He pours his love, what? Out in our hearts. And so we do not have the capability to love everybody. We have the capability of loving some people. Those that love us, it's easy to love them back. But those who do not love us, we struggle a little bit with loving them. Yes, and we'll move on. So the angel's message came. They proclaimed, it says. They said, and it says they praised God. But today I want to look at it as they came singing. How many know you remember things better in a song than you do memorizing it word for word? And so they came, and this is my version today. They came singing a song of good news to the shepherds. And it said there in that scripture that they were proclaiming the news, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And so you got to realize this situation, that God has not spoken from heaven in over 400 years. There has not been a prophetic message to the people of Israel since the book of Malachi. So from Malachi to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we begin to read those stories, there has not been a message from God. It is a blank page. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. But that was the last prophet that spoke out, and it is written down as we proclaim as the word of God here today. And I don't know about you, if you haven't heard from somebody in 400 years, hopefully some of you aren't that old. But if we haven't heard from our family, our wives, or our kids in 4 hours, we kind of get, hey, what's going on? You know, we get kind of get upset. And, you know, some of our other relatives, you know, we may not hear for 4 weeks or 4 months, right? There are those that we don't hear from for 40 years, right? Yep. All right. How many have some friends like that? All right. That you haven't spoke to, but when you do talk, whew, you kind of pick up where you left off, right? And so there hasn't been any news from heaven for 400 years. Not to say that God hadn't been working and God wasn't doing some things. But there has not been a word from heaven until John the Baptist kind of shows up. And we have the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph. All of a sudden, the heavens are wide open with a new message. So the first message to mankind after or before the birth of Christ here is, I come in peace. God was coming in peace. What was the first thing the angel said to Zacharias and and to Mary and Joseph? Peace, right? All right? If we had an angel show up to us, we'd be changing our underwear. Do you understand what I'm saying here today? I mean, it's an incredible event. And so they were fearful when the angel showed up. He said, I come in peace. I give you a message of peace. So God offered an olive branch. He was offering the world the gift of peace, the remedy for sin and reconciliation to God. He, through Jesus Christ, we experience an open door policy to heaven, to God the Father. It is an introduction. Jesus came and he proclaimed his heavenly Father, which was news to them, to the people of Israel. And to us today, we have a heavenly Father. And we know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the angel's words, what I want to focus on here today, is kind of conditional. He offers us peace. But there's a condition in that scripture that we read there in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace. And listen to this. To those. Okay, this is kind of a specific message here today. To those on whom his favor rests. I don't know about you, but we know that there's not rest in our world today. There's not peace in our world today, those outside the church. But what I'm finding more and more and hearing more and more is about the people in the church are not experiencing the peace either. And so we need to question that and ask the question, why is that happening if they're not experiencing peace in their lives? And it says, to those on whom his favor rests. So if we want to experience peace, we need to be in favor with God. Peace on earth is given to those he favors. And we're not talking about favorites. God doesn't have favorites. I think sometimes we believe that God has favorites. We look at people with multi-talents. We see their skill levels, their abilities. And we kind of think that, man, they're more blessed than I am. But I want to tell you today that God does not have any favorites. His love is not proportionate today. He doesn't love one individual. Maybe they're busily doing what he's called them to do and God's using them. He doesn't love them any more than any one of us. He does not. It is not proportionate. God is love. There is no degrees in his love. You know, the shortcoming we find in this, that we think God has favorites, it's our issue. It's our problem, right? It's hard to understand this because from our own experiences. You know, even in parenting, you know, sometimes it's hard not to have a favorite. Come on. There's some of your kids you get along with better than others. Come on. Let's be honest here today, right? We have a number of teachers here. There are students that you wish you had a whole class full of. And then there's others that when you see them, you groan. Right? And you wish you could send them to the teacher next door. It's because of our life experience we have a hard time understanding this favoritism of God. That there is no favorite. There is no change. There is no shadow of change with God. He loves us unconditionally, which is hard to understand and hard to grasp. We are talking about people in good standing here today. His favor is based not on him and what he's done and on his grace and what he's provided for us, but on how we respond to him. That's what we're talking about, on whom his favor rests. There are those that respond to God's invitation. Romans 6:23 says, and you can quote it, for the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift. It is something you receive. At Christmas, the reward of giving gifts and receiving is giving and receiving. Some of us may be better givers than receivers. And we know there are all those also that are better receivers than they are givers. So it is a gift, but it's how we respond to that gift that puts us in favor with God. Do we respond, yes, positively to a relationship with Jesus Christ? Yes. And you will experience God's peace as a result of that. We read Isaiah chapter 9:6. There is also a belief that comes into this. We respond in faith. We respond because we believe it, and we act it out in our faith. Isaiah 9:6 says, for a child is born, the son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, these are the things that he wants you to experience in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all wrapped up in this gift. It's not a pick and choose thing. He gives it all. It's an offer to us. He is the Prince of Peace, meaning he is the one who offers that peace. He is the Prince for us damsels in distress. And I know that sounds a little effeminate here today to say that, but I'm going to tell you, we are all damsels in distress. And how we know that the prince comes along, right? Woo. He's our prince today, our prince of peace. We don't often connect faith and peace together. And as we've been going through these characteristics of the season as we've been lighting the candles and talking about it. We know that peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. That it is inside of us because why? We have Christ's Spirit within us. But when we look at faith, faith is believing and trusting. Isn't that basically what faith is? Believing and trusting? But how many know that faith can be cold and can be unfeeling? How many know that sometimes our faith has to fight our feelings and our five senses? It can be cold sometimes. It can be unfeeling. And so faith without feeling is doomed. I hate to tell you. But he offers us something hand in hand with the faith. He gives us peace. Peace is feeling based. It is an indefinable assurance. It is a confidence. It is a calmness. It's that ability to be cool and collected under fire. Aren't you glad today that our relationship with Christ is not just religion? It's not just duty, but we can actually feel something? I am glad that we can be involved emotionally with Jesus Christ. It's a good thing. You know, peace gives us a feeling that God's got it under control, that everything's going to be okay. Things may be a mess, things may be in turmoil, but deep down there's just this peace that comes through. I kind of touched on it a while back that Karen and I, we responded in our first pastorate. We had a little girl that would go into seizures. She had cerebral palsy. And so I happened to be with the father when she went into one of these seizure modes. And so we ended up going to the hospital with the little girl to the emergency room. And later, I called Karen up and said, hey, you need to get in. And she came with the mom. And it was one of those things that she didn't really have an opportunity to get ready. How many know, ladies, that you don't doll up on Saturday morning? All day, all week long, you may get all gussied up and all your hair done, your makeup on, you know, and get ready for the day. But on Saturday, it's kind of one of those, I'll get up when I get up, we'll have breakfast when we want to get up. And so I kind of broke that routine. And so she came, she just put on some sweats, and she came with the girl with her hair not done and no makeup on. And so we were there at the hospital for a while, and the father and I went out to get some lunch while the mom and Karen stayed there. And so they did a spinal tap while we were gone. And Karen happened to be in the emergency room. I don't know why they allowed her in the room when they did the spinal tap. But Karen fainted. And she didn't just go down. She went, bam, face down. And so I get back to the hospital after we went to lunch. And they say, are you Mr. Farkas? And I said, yes. Your wife's been admitted to the hospital. It's like, what? So I walk in the room, and here's my beautiful wife, her hair not done, no makeup, her lip bulging out with stitches in it, and white still on her chin from her broken teeth that shattered. And you know what I did? I laughed. Isn't that horrible? My adorable wife, in that situation, all I could do was I busted. It wasn't the appropriate response, but it just, I still laugh to this day. And she laughs about it too. So if you ever look at her lumpy lip and her two false front teeth, you'll know. So, but that wasn't the situation that deals with peace. You know, with going to the hospital, there's a bill that comes with it. There's a cost. And so we received this nice big bill for this, doing her lips and doing eventually getting her teeth fixed. We had a nice big bill. And there was no way on our salary. It was our first church. We weren't making much. And so we didn't know what to do about it. And so we began to pray about it. And the church that we were pastoring at the time said, oh, we'll do something. We'll help you out. And they didn't have the ability to help us out unless it came out of their pocket personally, because the church didn't have it. And I just felt like God was saying, I got this. Don't worry about it. And I told the church, I said, we don't want you to do anything, because we feel like God wants to do something. And so we talked to the hospital, and they cut the bill in half. And then we were praying about it. And then a pastor of another church heard about it, and they cut us a check, and they paid the rest of our bill off. But it's in these situations that we can experience God's peace. Through the adoptions of our daughters, if you've ever been through adoption, it's not a picnic. It's kind of a very stressful time because they can take and change everything in just a moment. And they can change their mind and not give you the child. We experienced that. Pastoral changes, we've gone through a number of those. And we've experienced God's peace. And see, this is the peace that God promises us. That in the midst of our circumstances, when things seem too big, we can still have an assurance, that feeling inside that God's got it. He's got our back. He's got it under control. Jesus was about to leave the earth, and in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let, notice the word let, your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The only way you do not experience God's peace is when you don't let God's peace into your life. If you're not experiencing peace in your present circumstances because you have not allowed God to be your peace, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Paul gave us some good information in Philippians chapter 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice, right? That's a choice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. How many know when you're not experiencing peace, it is evident to everybody? Because you blow up on everybody? You let them have it? You're miserable, so you want to share it? Right? It says there, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Woo. That's big. Anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, meaning we just don't sit there and say, okay, I got God's peace. No. We need to pray about it. We need to bring it before the Lord. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then what happens after we do those things, after we're rejoicing, after we're praying, after we brought everything to Him, and the peace of God, which transcends. It's not an automatic thing. It's a gift. It transcends. All understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Then Paul doesn't leave it there. He says, once you begin to experience this, he says, this is what you do. Instead of thinking about your circumstances, your problems, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. How many know we need believers around us? We need the church. We need each other as an example. Plus, we need each other in these times of need to minister to us. Paul says, look what he said. What you have received, heard from me, seen in me, hey, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? So, we're to rejoice. Do we give thanks for everything? No, we give thanks in everything, in every circumstance, right? We praise Him, we worship Him, and we allow God to do a work in us as we pray through, as we allow His peace to transcend us. And what do? We hang on His promises, right? We hang in there and take Him at His word. Paul explained to us how to ready ourselves to receive God's mercy, his peace. It's not of works, church. It's not. It's something that is transcendent. It is a gift from God. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God in us. So the angel's message was glory to God in the highest in heaven and on earth, peace to on whom his favor rests. His favor rests on anybody it wants it to rest on. It's how we respond to him. Are you bringing it to the Lord? Or are you trying to work it out on your own? Hey. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. So let me ask you this as we close here. Have you ever given yourself a Christmas gift? Isn't it wonderful? I do. I always give myself a gift. My wife talked to my daughter this week and she said, I was out 2 hours shopping for everybody and the only thing I got was something for myself. But I do. I buy myself something. If you had to live with me, you'd buy yourself something too, right? Right? Hallelujah. I deserve a reward for having to put up with me. Amen. So, if you'll go to the piano, please. So, as we began here today, we talked about your wish list. We've been given a wonderful gift in the person of Jesus Christ. And his name is Emmanuel, God with us. We've been given a piece of heaven. How many know in heaven there's going to be perfect peace? No more tears. No more pain. Right? What a place. Perfect peace. Like we've never... I mean, we get a touch of it here, but that is a complete experience. A message was given by a heavenly choir of angels from a loving heavenly Father. So my question is this. What Grinch has stole your peace? All right? What Grinch has stole your peace? What circumstance today is stealing your peace? You know, we're coming into a holiday season where some of you have suffered loss. And there's pain with that. There's hurt with that. But how many know that you can still have peace in spite of it? Maybe there's division in your family. And we're coming into the holidays and it's a hard time for people. It's a hard time for families. Your stress level goes whoo. What about peace? Right? There are people that think that Christmas is about giving gifts, spending money. And there's that guilt of, I didn't get enough. Right? We put this stuff on us and it robs us of the peace of the season that Jesus is reminding us that it's ours. I mean, there may be a trillion other things that are robbing you of your peace. What Grinch is stealing your peace? Can you give it to him this morning? Can you make an altar where you're at here today and say, Lord, I've been robbed of this wonderful gift that you've offered me. Let's pray. Father, we make an altar today. And I challenge those that are hearing this message today, Lord, to deal with that Grinch, that thing, that circumstance, that problem, that issue that they have allowed to rob them of a peace today. And we said the peace that we're talking about is that reconciliation, that there's no wall between you and us. And the truth is, if there is not peace in that relationship, there's not going to be peace in our world. There's not going to be peace in our relationships with one another. us this morning to get that peace settled today. Because the peace that we have with you is an overflow into these other areas of our life. So if we're not feeling peace, then it's a relationship issue. We've clogged the connection. We put roadblocks up. And this morning, I'm just asking you, tear them down. Get them out of the way. If your pipe from heaven is clogged, get some Drano this morning in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let him clean you out today. Jesus, I pray for this body. I know there are those in here that have lost loved ones. And it may be a very lonely season, but Lord, there is family that can gather around us. There are those that we can, as Paul said, tap into. That we can connect with their joy, their peace, their hope, their faith. I pray that there will be an overflow this morning in the lives of our families today, that the season will be the best holiday season that they've ever had, because they've allowed you to be the center of the season. I pray just your presence, Lord, upon every family, every home. I pray, Lord, just for just a reality check that our wish list comes from heaven and that we have access to your throne, to your presence anytime, any place. And I challenge each and every one here, Lord, that when they feel that peace slipping away through this season, Lord, that they'll just get back and grab a hold of the throne, hold of the altar, and just say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and restore a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.